This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Welcome again to All About Living. We are truly into 2011. This is the new year. And if you're like so many people, you have made your list of New Year's resolutions. And I bet it would be batting 1,000 or 100% at least that everybody includes getting fit, losing weight, taking better care of ourselves, something of that nature on that list of New Year's resolutions. Well, this year, I think more than any year before, there is really something behind that. Besides making that list and forgetting it by the next week or so, everybody is really tuned in to doing better with ourselves and our lifestyles now. So many changes have occurred. We've just had the Food Safety Act passed. We've just had the better nutrition for children in the school systems passed. We've had health care reform, the big focus of which is going to be on prevention. And so much of that is a partnering with ourselves and taking better care of ourselves, eating better, getting better exercise, making better behavioral decisions so that we can be part of the solution of being healthy and not look at health care as a Hail Mary or a heroic effort at the end when things have gotten too far. So we are going to talk about fitness today, but in this new realm of we really have to do something about it. Obesity is at epidemic proportions in our country today. I just heard a statistic recently that 1 in 3 grade school children are considered obese, and that is just unacceptable. For the greater longevity that we are currently achieving, that whole concept may be reduced and actually reversed if we don't do something about it. Our children are not going to grow and live long, healthy lives if we don't do a better job of all of us becoming healthy, including our children. And all of us who are older than children are certainly role models for the younger generation at all, as well. And thinking about fitness, though, or exercise, or getting in shape, sometimes it's hard to know what to do or where to begin. And as we grow older, leading an active lifestyle is more important than ever before. Regular exercise helps everyone maintain health, boost energy, and improve confidence. And the good news is that no matter what our age, our health, or our fitness level, we can benefit from just moving around more. And whether you are generally healthy or are managing an illness or are trying to prevent an illness from occurring, there are big and small ways to get more active, to take better care of ourselves, and to boost our fitness level. So that's our conversation for today on All About Living. That's what we're going to talk about. And I have three people in the studio with me who have real expertise in this area. I am surrounded by personal trainers, and we're going to find out a little bit more what that even means to have a personal trainer. One of them is my own, so I do know a little bit what having a personal trainer is all about, and that certainly is not because that has always been my lifestyle, but it's something that I've incorporated in my life just because I realize that we do have to take better care of ourselves. Let me introduce you to my guests. T.J. Miller is here. And so is Andy Koszubski and Brad DeForest. And TJ is the owner of Horizon Health and Fitness, which is a personal training studio located in Middleton. It's behind the Costco area, just down that little street. What is it, Murphy?
Murphy Drive.
Murphy Drive, yep. Okay. TJ, you are the owner of Horizon, and Brad and Andy, you are personal trainers at Horizon.
Yep.
And all you do is function in personal training. You in fact, bill yourselves as you're not a fitness center. You don't have massive classes. You don't have people just come in and out and do things on their own. You work one-on-one individually with people, and that's all you do.
Exactly.
And in your brochure, what you say is, and I think this really encapsulates the concept of what you're all about, we are not a health club, we are the future of fitness. And what do you mean by the future of fitness? That suggests that we're all going to be going a particular route, that this is a journey and a path to follow.
Exactly, Carolyn. I do appreciate you having us in today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Basically, the mento there is, fitness for the future. We have a certain style that we train in that's more of a functional training style versus utilizing machines. We've always trained with more of a functional or industrial concept. Functional training, meaning exercising for use in real life versus just going in and lifting a bar up and down. We train for all walks of life. Our training incorporates into prevention of slip and falls, prevention of osteoporosis, prevention of stability, balance, flexibility, cardiovascular endurance, not just the mainstream weight loss only or strength gaining only.
So it's the things that I was talking about. It's about basic wellness and staying well.
Correct.
And all looking at all of those issues that happen to us as we get older, those
exactly.
Health things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that balance is a big, big thing. I think the research has come out of the... In fact, University of Wisconsin here in Madison is one of the major research centers on falls. And what they're finding is that if we don't have balance, just the strength alone could almost increase our risk of falling, because if we get stronger, we're going to be moving around more and being more active. But if we don't have the balance component, we're going to move around more and go boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect way. Perfect analogy.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, and I do go to Horizon Health and Fitness, so I don't want to come across like I don't know what you're talking about, but you don't have a lot of super fancy machines. So in this wave of high tech and things getting fancier and shinier and more complicated, what you're saying is that that's not necessary, that there's more a basic approach to developing this total wellness.
Functional exercise. It's real easy for somebody to sit on a bench and bench press 300 pounds of weight if they're sitting in a fixed place pushing a weight straight up. But literally, most times people in real life experiences need to pick up a fridge, possibly move the fridge down a hallway. Well, they're not sitting in a perfect machine. If they're not in a fixed motion machine, so they wind up hurting their back, their lower back, or pulling a muscle because they're twisting and moving. And most machines don't allow for the twisting and moving aspect of fitness. They're a fixed line movement. So we try and incorporate everything into a workout instead of just being linear and training one dimensionally.
We're talking about getting fit now as we've entered 2011. And I have three personal trainers in the studio here in All About Living on 1670 WTDY today. And TJ Miller is the owner of Horizon Health and Fitness. And your background in fitness is quite impressive, TJ. You are a certified personal trainer and fitness instructor through the American Fitness Association and the U.S. Military's Physical Fitness Training 2 program.
Yep.
You were in the U.S. Army and did physical fitness training in the U.S. Army for 4 years. Wow. When I think of that, I think of those boot camps and running in the middle of the night for
exactly
miles and miles
exactly,
and miles.
Exactly.
What is that like? Is it really as almost inhuman and inhumane as it appears?
No, not there. Most of those soldiers are all young. They can handle it. But my job, actually, boot camp per se is just a 3-month program that you start in the military. Boot camps got flipped into the civilian life as a class that you might take. My job in basic was to take new recruits that had just entered the military and they couldn't pass their PT tests. My job was to go in a short period of time, drop weight, or get them strong enough to pass their PT tests. So the military sent me through training. Once I finished the basic phase 2, I then started teaching Ranger battalions, doing their fitness sessions and so forth. So it kind of progressed from helping soldiers meet requirements for basic PT tests, and then it graduated into specialized training for Ranger Special Forces, keeping those types of soldiers in better shape.
So you worked with soldiers who were like all of us, so many of us, who are not in shape. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take? Looking at a soldier who couldn't pass the requirements, how long did it take for you to get them in shape?
That's an interesting question. It was a case-by-case scenario. But most soldiers could do it.
I mean, it's possible for everyone.
It is. It comes down to the mental more than the physical. Physically, anybody can achieve those goals, the goals that are set down by the military. It's the mental that soldiers, the small percentage of soldiers that didn't meet the requirements mentally weren't there and mentally couldn't overcome it. But there was maybe, you know, 1% that never achieved meeting those standards, but it was more of a mental roadblock than it was a physical. The military's got pretty good guidelines on nutrition and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unlike the civilian life, we had soldiers for 24 hours a day. So we could train all day long. It wasn't a 40-minute session or a hour-long session. So,
and then people walk out the door and they, you know, have the freedom to make their own choices.
Exactly.
And then that's when you get in trouble. I'm really impressed. All three of you have outstanding credentials, and we want to talk a little bit about the importance of those, too. Andy Koshubsky, you graduated from MATC with a certificate as a health club technician. Now, what is a health club technician versus the physical trainer 2 designation or some of the other designations?
The health club technician, it gets kind of like your foot into the door, per se. It helps you along the ways if you wanted to be more of the manager aspect, or if you just wanted to stay as a trainer, or if you wanted to even go as far as try to open up your own club. So it just kind of gave you the aspects or the building blocks.
The business part of running a training studio. Mm-hmm. And then you also are ACE certified. What is ACE?
ACE. It's American Council of Exercise. It's a national certification. It's a good building block.
It gets you the training that you need, so when you work with somebody, they're not going to make mistakes under your guidance, but they're going to do things the right way.
You got it.
Yeah, and I noticed that you've worked with people ages 11 to 80, so that really proves the point that nobody is too young or too old, really.
You got it, yeah.
And Brad DeForest, your credentials and experiences are similar. You've been active in sports and exercise all your life. You wrestled and played football in high school and semi-pro football.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that about you. And you are the one that, you are my personal trainer.
Yeah.
You are my Brad, and you keep me going, keep me inspired. But you actually pursued an education in exercise and then graduated from Florida Atlantic University with a Bachelor's of Science in Exercise Science and Health Promotion. And you're certified by the National Strength and Conditioning Association as a certified strength and conditioning specialist. And you have worked with people from ages 3 to 89.
Yeah.
And if people are willing to go through it and stick with it, anybody, even an 89-year-old, can make progress?
Well, I'm sure that even older than that would be able to make progress. It's all about wanting to achieve your goals and being willing to learn what it takes and go through it all.
Well, what I'm going to do is let's talk about how we're actually going to get started. And for someone who thinks that, oh, I'm too old, or I hurt too much, or I'm not in any condition, it's too late now, and this is who I am, and I've always been this way, we're going to find out how we can turn that around. But first, we're going to stop for a break. And this segment of our program has been brought to you today by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. And you're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and stay tuned. We'll find out more about how to become fit and well right after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Kolbe, Madison 1670, WTDY.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Carol Kolbe, and this is All About Living. We're talking about living really well today as we kick into 2011 and these beginning days. We have the option and the opportunity to get ourselves fit and well, and never before has that been more important. With the episodes of obesity increasing and our population aging, we are at greater and greater risk for not living well, healthy, productive lives. And certainly that should be on the top of the list of all of our New Year's resolutions. Here to help us with that are three personal trainers from Horizon Health and Fitness, which is a personal training studio located in Middleton. And Brad DeForest is here, Andy Koszupski, and TJ Miller, who is the owner of Horizon Health and Fitness. And in our last segment, if you were listening, they are well credentialed in personal training. And so they are skilled to work with people to help them have success and build a better fitness level and not get injured in the process, which I would say, Andy, would probably be one of the major benefits of working with a personal trainer is to make sure that you're doing the right things to actually build your strength and wellness and to not get injured or have it be detrimental to you.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And obviously with a professional, they are there to keep an eye out for you. I mean, they're not going to put you into a situation where they have any question that you're going to hurt yourself. So that's another reason why that we're here.
Right. Well, you do a good job of it. And let's talk about getting started with an exercise and kind of nutrition or diet regime. And it's not really diet where you do something for 3 weeks and then you go off your diet and you're back to the hot fudge sundaes three times a day. But it becomes an eating program for life.
Right.
Yeah. And let me just throw it out to the three of you and whichever person wants to step in first. How best can, you've worked with a lot of people, how can you get people started? TJ?
Well, I think that getting people started with a diet, some real basic elements need to be looked at. One, what is the specific goal? What is your goal? But two, doing your own research. There's numerous amounts of fad diets, fallacies that are out there. It's real black and white. In order to lose weight, the equation is very basic, but people tend to lean towards the quick weight loss fads and fallacies a lot quicker. Real basic, do some research, look at what your expectations are, what are real expectations, have those goals in mind. Pick a diet that works for you. It's not about making a major life-changing or life-altering.
So you're not changing the total foods that you are used to eating.
No, you don't need to. No, you can make some minor compromises and still succeed. But for a lot of people, spending the time or a few dollars to talk to a trainer just to get you in the right direction is the best way to go. There's so much information out there that it's just like accounting or mechanics. Spend a few dollars and get in the right direction at least.
Brad, what would you suggest when somebody comes in, or maybe you even meet someone, and I can see this as far as getting someone started. You might be out and somebody says, oh, what do you do? And you say you're a personal trainer. Oh, I could never do that. You know, I need to get in shape, but you know, that's not my thing. How can you turn that person around to thinking, hey, this might be a possibility for me, and then getting them going on that?
Well, a lot of times when people think of personal trainer, they think of, you know, the superhuman looking, Hulk in the gym that is kind of demanding, do this, do that. And they don't see personal trainers as just another person out there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing a lot of people see a personal trainer as is it's, I go into the gym and I see them once a week and I've gone in and I haven't achieved my goals because, well, they don't do anything for me. Those are just a couple myths that I've found a lot of people have that, it's not for me because I heard of so-and-so got hurt. And
yes.
If you go to a trained, certified professional that has the education, that can steer you in the right direction and motivate you without just screaming and yelling and putting you in a bad position, you really do have the opportunity to achieve your goals, and they really do care to get you to those goals.
So for someone who hasn't been involved at all, what would you say to them as far as getting their toe in, toe wet, you know, putting their big toe in or getting the foot in the door to really, really start to get involved?
Well, I'd just say that give it a try. I mean, it doesn't hurt to try something a few times. If it's a money issue, you know, there's we offer, you know, free tryouts of our boot camps. We've done free personal training trials in the past. Just go out and look for promotions like that and come in, try it out. Once you come in, you really can realize that it's not, you know, this horrible thing that everybody thinks of, and it's not really as hard as you put it in your mind. It's that roadblock in your mind, oh, this isn't for me. It's really just holding you back.
And if you haven't been involved at all, just starting on your own, I mean, it's like it's so confusing. But that's a good thing. I would assume that most, you know, any reputable club of any sort would allow you an opportunity for a conversation and to try things out and to give you a taste or a feel for what it is all about. And it gives you that first-time experience. And once you do something, it's always that first step that's the hardest. So it gets you across that first step.
Exactly.
And then what about the diet? Andy, any diet recommendations that you have for people as when they're tying that in? Because it's more than just exercise. Mm-hmm. It's the other lifestyle choices, too.
It definitely is more than just exercise. My philosophy, and obviously everybody has their own different philosophy, but the way that I try and teach my clients is it's not taking anything out of your diet. It's more realizing what you're eating, and it's more about quantity and quality control. So, yeah, everybody likes that candy bar or that bowl of ice cream, but obviously not every day. I know myself, this time of year, cookies, bars, they're all over the place. Yeah, I like to have one, but I just try and limit myself to one. And I try and preach that to my clients, too. Hey, don't be afraid to reward yourself or to treat yourself every once in a while, but just try and make sure that it is just every once in a while, not every day or even for some people, every hour.
Maybe that's why we really get on this kick of getting fit after the holidays, because the holidays disrupt any kind of structure that we have regarding food and drink, and we all get all of these sugary things or these rich foods or the annual traditions that we typically don't have the rest of the year. And so we come out of that, and it's like you need to pull some controls back in your life. And there is something uplifting about a sense of structure or being in charge, you know, and not having something else take over your body and your lifestyle.
Yeah. And at the same time, too, you don't want your workout to be as a punishment for you eating too much or anything like that, because then in the back of your mind, it'll be, oh, I'm working out as a punishment, or it's a bad thing. So you want to try and keep it fun, too.
One of the things that has really been beneficial for me is that it's on my calendar. And I don't know, I may not have done it one time in the last couple of months had it not been on my calendar, because I've always got something that comes up that I am so busy I can't do that. But Brad, you're expecting me, and I might be 2 minutes late, but I come running in the door, and life's a hassle that day, but it's on my calendar, and I show up, and I think just show up for you, show up for your life, and for your own wellness, and having that date on that calendar and the expectation that somebody else is expecting you. And I think maybe that's why the buddy system works. That if you get a friend and make a commitment with a friend to go for a walk or to do something, that you will stick with it more.
And Carol, statistically, folks that go out and find a partner, a diet partner, a workout partner, statistically you're going to have a huge chance for success, statistically. If you have somebody that you're working out with, a spouse, a friend, your chances of success, whatever your goal might be, does go up quite a bit. And to touch on the last question real quick, I think one of the first things that with most of our clients getting started with a diet or an exercise regimen that I would suggest most people to do on their own first is to create a diet log on their own. If a goal is to lose weight, to create their own diet log. When clients tend to write down everything that they eat over a week's period, and they can actually see the amount of calories that they're taking in,
mm-hmm.
that's when the majority of my clients, really it kind of hits them, and they kind of realize they're carb loading every day. When they really realize how many carbs are in all of the food, the minute amount of protein, the large fat, and the large carbohydrates. So writing a diet log and knowing what you eat is, I think, the first step into dieting. If you don't know what you're consuming, you don't know how to cut back or add or what to switch. So keeping a basic diet log of calories, fat, protein, and carbs is very basic, but I think that that would probably be one of the first things that they can do on their own to kind of realize where they're at, where they might be going wrong.
We're going to stop for a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with this. We're going to get some specific tips, some ideas, and you might even want to jot a few of these things down to help get yourself started, because it's one thing to say, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to make lifestyle changes, and it's another thing to have some specific ideas and how to go about that and how to incorporate it into your life. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment of our program is brought to you by Turvo Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We'll be back right after these messages from our sponsors.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670 WTDY.
We're back with our program. Our guests today are Andy Koshubsky, Brad DeForest, and TJ Miller. They are three personal trainers who are with Horizon Health and Fitness. TJ actually is the owner of Horizon Health and Fitness, a personal training studio located in Middleton. All they do is personal training. All they do is work one-on-one with individuals to customize a lifestyle for each of one of their clients that maximizes, epitomizes their wellness. And a good part of that is the exercise, but also they do nutrition counseling and lifestyle counseling to make sure that the whole package of how we live our daily lives is working to improve our health and well-being. We've been talking a little bit about the diet and nutritional choices, a big part of it. I want to move into some of the exercise and building an exercise program, because that's where your expertise really lies. But one thing with the diet and nutrition, a couple of things that I have been told and I've learned. First of all, make your plate colorful. The more bright and different colors there are on your plate, the healthier the foods are going to be, because you need the green and you need the orange and you need the red and you need the yellow and you need the brown grains. And that combination is going to put lots of vitamins and make the decisions for you rather than having to analyze. So that's one of the things, and you can get those by shopping the periphery of a grocery store. So that's one little tip that I have found really, really useful. And so serving a colorful plate, I said, this is going to be good for you. So, and what else? TJ, you have some ideas to share?
There's numerous tips, but some of the basics, in my opinion, as we see this over and over again, is to let friends and family know that you're going to be going into a diet or a weight loss program. Having that support of your spouse can help or hinder your program and what you're trying to accomplish.
And if you are a friend or a spouse of someone that is making these choices, don't try to talk them out of it or get upset, oh, you won't, you know, she won't eat anything or he won't eat dessert or making fun or sneering. And I have heard that happen. And so just be supportive of the individual. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Keeping your diet journal, as I mentioned before, is extremely important. Drinking water consistently throughout the day is huge. Maintaining that water balance is big.
Sometimes just drinking a glass of water will make you feel full. When you're not really hungry, what you really are is thirsty.
It does. It does. The biggest tip that I have that I use and that I tell to my clients is when I go into a restaurant to order food, I'll order my entree from the server, and I'll immediately ask for a to-go box. The server might look at me a little bit funny, but when they bring my food, my plates, I'll take half of everything on my plate, and I'll scrape it into the to-go box. and I'll put the to-go box under my seat. That way I'm not overeating. It's a lot of, as Andy mentioned earlier, it's quantity control, mm-hmm. portion control. So when I go out to eat, that's the biggest problem most clients ask. As I go out to dinner, I eat out a lot. Well, one of the things besides choosing a healthy platter is to not overindulge. Most restaurants, they're going with this oversized American-type plate. Ask for a to-go box right off the bat. As soon as the food comes out, split everything in half, put it in the box, eat half, wait 2 hours, eat the other half. It's breaking up your meals into 5 or 6 small meals, which is another tip to weight loss.
When you're at home, use a smaller plate.
Mm-hmm. Use a smaller
plate. Many dinner sets have the dinner plate, and then they have a large salad plate that goes with it. Take your salad plate and put your dinner on the salad plate have smaller portions there.
Exactly.
Now, Brad, you have a couple of ideas.
The main thing that I stress is that you don't cut out your favorite foods. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I love chocolate. I love brownies. So now I'm going to have to give them up. And then when they cheat and they end up, you know, going for the brownies on a stressful day, it just causes them more stress because then it's, oh, no, I broke my diet. Or they go, oh, I already broke my diet, so now I'll just pig out on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow yourself to cheat, you allow yourself to have small portions of your junk food of choice, it helps you stay on track. And if you say, okay, I cheated, it doesn't matter, you don't stress out over it as much, and it doesn't make it so hard to stay on your diet.
Well, maybe they shouldn't even think that they cheated. It's okay to incorporate all foods in our lives. It's just, and then if you do enjoy something, enjoy it, and don't feel guilty about it.
But it's the quantity in which we cheat.
Yeah.
It's the quantity in which we cheat.
Now, if it's, you know, if our bodies are going the other way, then we've got to look in the mirror and say, uh-oh, you know. But, no, these are all good things. One other thing I read somewhere about the concept that they have in Japan, and there's a word for it, and I can't remember the word. It's actually a Japanese word. But they stop when they're 80% full. They stop eating because the body continues to work, and the feeling of fullness builds up over about 20 minutes. So if you aren't quite full, but put down your fork and then just have conversation and let the food settle, that within 20 minutes you will feel full. So that's kind of a nice idea. It's hard to do some days. So when the food is really good and you're not quite full.
That's
one way to prevent yourself from overeating and allowing the fullness to creep up on you like that, like you said, is to make sure you chew your food slowly and, you know, chew each bite 20 or 30 times. I'm as guilty as anybody else of just throwing it in my mouth, chewing a few times, swallowing it as soon as it's small enough to get down. But the longer you sit there and chew, it's not only easier to digest, but it also allows your body to eat slower and you can feel full.
And you burn calories chewing.
Yeah, exactly.
And put your fork down and, you know, in between. And just take more time eating and you may not eat so much. Let's get into exercise because with the three of you here, it would be a shame if we didn't talk about building an exercise program. Exercise is really the key to healthy aging. And one of the things that they have learned is that there are mental health benefits of exercise to the point of really being a significant component of brain health, as they were looking at Alzheimer's, which is growing at epidemic proportions. They're finding out that the benefit of exercise in the brain, we're still discovering every day how important it is. Exercise can improve our sleep. It boosts our mood and self-confidence. It helps our cognitive ability. And then, of course, just the health benefits. It helps us maintain or lose weight. So it's not just all about eating less, but by getting more exercise, we're burning more calories. It reduces the impact of illness and chronic disease. So it actually makes us healthier. And it enhances our mobility, flexibility, and balance. So we can just go out and enjoy life. And life is for the living, and if we can be active and if our bodies will help us, will be the tool and our vehicle to go out and have a full and enjoyable life, all the more benefit. So I haven't exercised at all, hypothetically. I come into you, and where do you begin? Andy, where do you begin with someone? Do you analyze where they're at? Do you put them through a whole bunch of?
Yeah, just put them through a couple quick tests. Also make sure that they are cleared by their doctor also to do physical activity. So even a lot of people today, they may not realize that they have bad blood pressure, high cholesterol, or even the early stages of osteoporosis that could be detrimental to them later down the road. So definitely need to get that checked out.
So know your body and go to a professional to know your body.
Yep.
And then you're the professional that's going to help this body be the best it can be.
It can be, yep. And just to, like you said, life is for the living, so we should go out and definitely enjoy it and just go from there.
Brad, I often ask you, now, why am I doing this exercise? And then we go from that to another one. And it's what are you doing when you have, and it's almost like a dance routine that you've put together.
That's Brad's workouts. Dance routines.
Dance routines. Well, every trainer, anybody that exercises has their own philosophy to exercise and fitness. I personally like to go from, you know, a complete upper body exercise to a complete lower body exercise, and then to, you know, just a part of your upper body and then part of your lower body, just mainly to, first of all, you need to get your whole body involved. But then also, if you just go, you know, a leg exercise, leg exercise, leg exercise, leg exercise, you're not giving those muscles time to rest between exercises. And then later in your workout, when you could be doing, you know, another set or another exercise, your legs are just cashed. And you cannot continue your workout to the end.
Well, they talk about the burn and the ache and the pain. Should it hurt to exercise?
I would say that it should not hurt. You're gonna feel aches and pain and burning while you're exercising and after you're exercising. The burning while you're exercising is lactic acid buildup, which actually, you know, slowing down, taking a break, and then continuing will actually work it out of your muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You should never exercise till it absolutely hurts, where you're having stabbing pains or till you can't move.
Right. They used to, I think, years ago, and when Jane Fonda first came out with her videos, you know, it's go for the burn, and no gain, no pain, or no pain, no gain, you know. But now it seems to me you've got to, when it really starts to hurt, then you start to back off, and that the rest is an important component of it too.
Yeah.
Do you start with the bigger muscles first and go into smaller muscles? Is there any system of which muscles you exercise in combination with others?
I personally go with the large muscle groups, multiple muscle group exercises first, and then work into the more isolated one muscle at a time exercises, mainly because if you exhaust the individual muscles before you go into the larger muscles, you won't be able to lift the weights that you'll need to get an actual workout in that entire group of muscles. I'm sure that TJ and Andy have other philosophies, probably similar but may not be the same.
Well, we'll find out what those are right after we take this break. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Andy Kashubsky, Brad DeForest, and TJ Miller after these messages from our sponsors. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here, online at homehealthunited.org. You're listening to All About Living on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Kobe, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned.
This is All About Living with Carol Kobe, Madison 1670 WTDY.
We're talking fitness today on All About Living. Our guests are Brad DeForest, Andy Kashubsky, and TJ Miller, all from Horizon Health and Fitness, a personal training studio located in Middleton. And with three personal trainers, we're trying to build a fitness program that is going to not only work for us in a moment of commitment that we make, but work for us over a lifetime of building our own wellness. TJ, we were talking about the importance of nutrition and our lifestyle decisions that we make to really enhance our wellness. But with the exercise perspective, it is such a key component to wellness. We're learning more and more how important exercise is. And what kinds of exercise should we all be incorporating into our lives?
Well, hopefully, there's four technical aspects to exercise: the isotonic, eccentric, isometric, and isokinetic. Those are the technical aspects to the flexion and tension of an exercise. But I think for the discussion, we're going to go with the National Institute for Health's definition. And there's four: strength training, balance exercises, stretching and exercise, and endurance exercise. Those four compounds basically make up a well-rounded exercise makeup. If you can incorporate all four of those aspects into your workout, you're doing quite well.
Can you incorporate all four into one workout?
That's exactly what we do at Horizon Health and Fitness. We try and incorporate, dependent upon the person's goals, the client's goals, we try and incorporate all four aspects into the workout. You can come in and do a straight strength training program, but 99 out of 100 of our clients are going to be getting strength training, balance, functional. We use balance in everyday life. The stretching and exercise, stretching, elongating, dexterity, movement, as well as the endurance, the cardiovascular aspect, and gaining, more VO2, the VO2 max, expanding the lung cavities. So we try and make it a more well-rounded routine than just being linear.
Okay. Now, any of those, and if you went to one or the other individually, you're customizing for the person. But for somebody who's looking for overall wellness, so explain what you would do to incorporate all four of those into a workout session. And how long typically should a session be to be beneficial but not be too much?
Once again, that would be dependent upon the client. Mm-hmm. A client whose goal is to run an Ironman, or a client whose goal is to, after 15 years of leading a sedentary lifestyle, wanting to lose 150 pounds, will have two very different exercise regimens. So it's deducing what they need. But in essence, a good solid personal trainer session should be between 40 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's shorter sessions and longer sessions, but 40 minutes to an hour is a good session for a trainer to go through the aspects of cardiovascular training, muscular training, balance, and stretching.
So what are some examples of those four things that you would do? So if cardiovascular training is incorporated into my routine, what would I be doing?
You'd be doing anything from stationary bike, recumbent bike, treadmill, elliptical, the row machine. It could be exercises. There's certain exercises that incorporate, they're multifunctional. Bicep curls is a very specific exercise, and for the most part works out the biceps and secondary the forearms. But a burpee, for example, or an up-down, one of Andy's favorite exercises. Most of our clients listening will attest that that's Andy's favorite weapon of choice. that exercise incorporates, from a standing position, a jump in the air, kneeling on the ground, kicking the feet out, doing a push-up, bringing the feet back up, jumping back in the air. So it's a multifunctional exercise that incorporates cardiovascular.
Mm-hmm.
You're having to jump in the air, which is creating balance, coordination, as well as using your core and leg muscles to squat down. The push-up incorporates the back, the chest, the core. And in doing this, it also creates a lot of cardiovascular need, a lot of oxygen need to do that exercise. So it's encompassing all elements involved. And that's how we do a lot of our exercises, is to incorporate exercises, maybe transition from one exercise into another with a short break,
mm-hmm.
thus enhancing the cardiovascular aspect or the need for more oxygen. And Andy does a lot of functional circuit stuff, so mm-hmm. he can probably touch on this as well.
Right. Take it from here, Andy.
More on the functional aspect. TJ kind of touched on it a while ago, but it's more, especially this time of year, we just got done raking, and then everybody's complaining, oh, my back's sore from raking. Now we have the snow around, everybody's complaining, oh, my back is sore from shoveling.
Mm-hmm.
My legs are sore, my arms are sore. So we just try and incorporate more than one muscle group in an exercise. So like TJ just said, with the burpees, it incorporates everything. Or like a squat and press where you're squatting down and then standing up and pressing your hands over your shoulders. You're incorporating your legs, you're incorporating your shoulders, your arms, your back a little bit, and your core too. Or you could even do it on one leg and really hit that core, which you need
to do. When you talk about the core, and I know that's just, it's common now, you know, the strong core gives you total body strength. And what do you mean by the core?
The core is pretty much everything from your sternum to about mid-thigh, so everything in that section. It's the middle of your body. I always say it's the roots of the tree, or the roots of your body. Without strong roots, the tree's going to fall over.
When you were talking about going down and bending down, that's a big thing that you always talk about, TJ, is when you're bending down, don't bend over with your legs straight, but actually bend your knees, and so you pick something up, and so you don't injure your back.
Yeah, and you see it all over signs. Everywhere to squat, you bend with your knees, not your back. Very basic. That's where the majority of our clientele have their mishaps. You know, is picking something up, and basically they're just bending at the hips. You know, and that's one of the biggest problems that we have is lower back injuries. When we do post rehab, it's lower back injuries, it's slip and fall injuries. So bending at the knees and keeping the chin up when you lift something really helps keep the back straight when you're picking something up heavy of substantial weight.
How many times should you work out a week for it to be beneficial?
Many as you can.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the intensity.
Okay, but does it have to be 7 days a week?
No, or, three.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend doing a full body resistance training workout more than three times a week unless you're, you know, an athlete or you're trying to bodybuild or power lift, you know, for competition. Doing it more than three times a week, you're gonna cause your body to not have the rest to repair the muscle tissue and anything that it has micro trauma. That actually is that soreness you get the next day after exercising is tiny tears in the muscle fibers.
Thank you so much, Andy, Brad,
well, thank
TJ,
you,
for sharing your expertise on helping us keep fit. And as we all enter the 2011, hopefully that we'll be incorporating this into our daily lives and find time for the rest of our lives so we rest in between all of the activity and have a full fulfilling life. You've been listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment was brought to you by Independent Living, your connection to an independent life. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another program. Meanwhile, go out and have a great rest of the weekend. This program can also be heard on carolcobyradio.com. That's carolcobyradio.com.